It's Helping Hand. Each week on Helping Hand, we try to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to the disabled and to others among the most vulnerable. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence, and this week we're thrilled to welcome back Helping Hands Hawaii and a program called Ready to Learn. Heard about last year, it helps Hawaii's less fortunate children. Through July 22nd, donation of $10 will fill a backpack with basic school supplies, and we're going to learn more right now with our returning guest, Jan Harada, President and CEO of Helping Hands Hawaii. Welcome back.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Great to have you here. And before we get into the Ready to Learn aspect, which is really our focus today, Helping Hands Hawaii, fill us in on the mission.
The mission of Helping Hands Hawaii really is to help some of Hawaii's most vulnerable in a few ways. One, we provide language interpreter services to immigrants with limited English proficiency so they can access things like medical care, child care services, social services. Then we also provide what we call housing stabilization and support services for low-income or homeless households. That's everything from basic material items like furniture, household appliances, clothing, food, and then also emergency financial assistance for folks who are either at risk of homelessness or homeless and trying to get back into housing. And then the third part is we work with adults with mental illness, many of whom are also struggling with addiction, and all of whom are low income or homeless.
Do we have a disproportionate number of children that would fall into this impoverished category in Hawaii? Because you always hear about the free school lunch thing. And do you have numbers that go along with where we stand in terms of how many people are struggling to get by?
Yes, actually, in the K through 12, in the DOE system, of the 170,000 plus public school students, almost 50% of that are students who are coming from households that qualify for the free or reduced lunch, which means they're households that are struggling economically, over 50%. So it's close to 90,000 students coming from households that are in need. I believe that is one of the higher rates in the nation.
A lot of homeless kids too, and I am assuming some of them will be recipients of the supplies.
Definitely. All of the folks who are receiving supplies are either, again, living in poor households or are homeless. One story that we have from previously is we distribute those supplies, or we have in the past, through just cheap plastic bags that we put the supplies in as their kits, and then they come, you know, it gets distributed. You just assume they'll have something to put it in. But some kids were then going to school at the beginning of the school year with the same plastic bag that the supplies came in because they had nothing else to put their supplies in. It illustrates the magnitude of it. This year, American Savings Bank, who is our banking partner, really kind of came through and donated 7,000 drawstring bags for kids to put their supplies in. But you have kids carrying the plastic bag because that's what they've got.
7,000 kids who are coming from a very rough background that
yes.
They would need that to mm-hmm. carry their stuff to school. Yeah, it's humbling. It's healthy to review these things in one's life from time to time because it really helps you to realize the things you have. I guess it's real easy to just think about the big sports game and how tragic it is the guy didn't catch the ball or whatever. And you're not really thinking about the other things that are going on.
Yes. And so we're trying to get the word out. And that's why coming on a program like this actually is really huge, because people then are aware, you know, or social media or other ways to sort of get the word out.
These details mm-hmm. are emblematic of profound struggles.
Yes, absolutely.
50% of all public school kids translates roughly to how many kids?
About 87,000.
We've got 87,000 kids who are coming from a disadvantaged household across the state. How do you figure out who's going to end up getting these Ready to Learn kits?
What we do is we put out the word to all of our 100 plus partner agencies to say we're gearing up for Ready to Learn. There's a small application. And then we encourage the partner agencies to submit an application to, one, be a part of Ready to Learn, and then submit their sort of list of their counts of kids that are in need.
So after July 22nd, Ready to Learn continues to be active because in the middle of the year, they need more supplies. Mm-hmm. They can then reach back out to the same agency that helped them.
Yes, absolutely.
And then they reach out to you guys, and then you provide more supplies.
Yep. American Savings Bank is collecting both monetary donation and actual school supply donations at all of their branches statewide. You can also go online to our website, and there's a PayPal link, and all donations actually in June and July made through PayPal are automatically directed to the Ready to Learn program. There's also collection sites on our website of other businesses that are helping out.
24-count crayons, backpacks, composition books, 4-ounce containers of glue, 4.5-inch scissors, portfolios, 1-subject spiral notebooks, folder paper, college or wide rule, ballpoint pens, black or blue, rulers
and calculators.
Group of folks listening right now and wondering, would you rather I just make a donation? Will that go further? Or would you rather I pick up these supplies and bring them into place?
We say monetary donations tend to go further only because we do buy in bulk whatever we're short of. And then we're able to make sure that we have 7,000 plus of the same item. Because we try to make sure from a fairness standpoint that all the kids are kind of getting the same basic things.
I keep hearing 7,000. Is that like the core young group of this or something?
That's kind of the goal. Every year we average about 7,000. Some years it goes up to 8. So
in terms of supplies that
yes.
you get in?
No, that we help.
Oh, that are applications yes. and suggested applications
yes.
that come in. Okay, so.
And that's throughout the year.
In addition to the school supplies, other ways to assist with this Ready to Learn program? Do you need any volunteers?
Well, we do have different volunteer opportunities during Ready to Learn in particular. If anybody's interested in volunteering, the biggest help right now is to help put together the actual supplies into the bags.
And that'll go past the 22nd, I'm assuming.
Yes, yeah. And no, something is too small. Some people think, well, does that really make a difference? It's amazing. Again, I think that story of the kid who's carrying the plastic bag with school supplies because he's got nothing else to carry it in. And so that nothing is too small. So the impact of simply having something to put their stuff in is significant to that kid in terms of morale. It really makes a difference.
Just something to put your stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
At their website, helpinghandshawaii.org, you can find other locations, too, to make a drop-off of supplies. A $10 donation at the American Savings Bank locations will buy all of these supplies. An email form exists at helpinghandshawaii.org. If you want to call directly to the Ready to Learn program, 440-3812.
It's important to note also, people might think, we hear multiple things about school supply drives. You know, there's different things going on and people might be like, well, there's an overlap. There's too much school supply drives going on. And so I always sort of bring it back to the amount of need. 80-something thousand kids out there who need help. So there is no chance or no danger that there's going to be an overlap because all of it's needed. To us, it doesn't matter whether you help us out in our program because it's not really about us. It's about the kids. We're not competitive in that sense or territorial, and our mission is the people. So it really doesn't bother us if you decide that what we do is not exactly in your sort of frame of what you want to help with in terms of giving back, you know, and you want to help another organization. Great. The need is so great in many different areas. It's sort of like help focus on the things that you're passionate about because that's probably going to be the area where you're going to then be more motivated to help the most. My dad grew up in poverty. He really had nothing, you know, and there were 6 kids, my grandparents, and community center up the street helped save his life, impressed upon him the value of a good education, taught him how to swim. He happened to be good at swimming. He got a swimming scholarship, finished high school at a private high school, went to college on a full scholarship. All things that would not have happened were not for the people who helped him when he was poor and living in, you know, Kalihi and Palama and had nothing. And my grandmother sent him up the street to stay out of trouble and not end up somewhere else that he shouldn't be. I really look at that as it has everything to do with the people who helped him and also helped my mother when she was younger, sort of, you know, make it out of tough times. So for me, I always look at it as the person who helped him, maybe my dad or my mom back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, might not be around today and they might not see the actual long-term impact of what they did. And so I tell people all the time, you might not get the tangible result. So many people are focused on, well, I want to know that right now, I want to know that my donation, my community support made an impact in some tangible way that they can realize. What they don't also see is that that impact, you might not see the full effect of that impact until 40 years later, when that person that you helped, that kid or that, you know, adult that raised a family then is, you know, living life in a very different way than they would have otherwise.
That's a great point about all of the giving.
It's just to sort of live your life without judgment, not judging people based on exterior circumstances. Anybody can make a difference. That's the other important thing when you talk about programs like Ready to Learn.
Sure.
Is you don't have to be in social services to make a difference. You can be in the banking sector, in the education system. You can be in law. I mean, you can
That's
be
right.
in healthcare. You could be the janitor at the school building. Position doesn't matter. Title doesn't matter when you're looking at people who have voices and want to make a difference.
Like you pointed out, if you don't want to do it with the school supplies, but you want to go walk for MS, then
yep.
that's a great thing to do.
Absolutely.
Because you're playing the role that you're seeking to instill in people. HelpingHandsHawaii.org. As always, with all of our segments, you can find the full interview, the radio feature, all their contact information, and all of our other Helping Hands segments at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. Jan Harada is president and CEO of Helping Hands Hawaii. Really a pleasure to get to talk to you again, and thank you.
Thank you so much, Dave.